Welcome to the Search Storage UK FAQ podcast on implementing your first SAN. My name's Anthony Adshead. I'm editor of Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is Steve Pinder, principal consultant with Glasshouse Technology UK. There are two questions in today's podcast. The first question is, what are the key stages of the process when implementing a SAN for the first time? Over to you, Steve.
Thanks, Anthony. Firstly, it's critical to understand the business drivers behind the implementation of the SAN. Is the reason just organic growth, or has there been a recent merger or acquisition? You must also take into account whether some or all of the current server estate is due to be refreshed, or whether it will be migrated to the new SAN. In most cases, the business drivers will cause the decision to implement a SAN, after which the following stages should take place. Understand what the SAN will contain. Will it be for mission-critical hosts only, or will it be a mixture of hosts aligned to performance and capacity? This decision will help an organisation to size the SAN correctly, minimising wastage and future issues. If a large SAN is implemented and a small number of hosts are attached, this could be a waste of money. Whereas, if a smaller SAN than required is implemented, it will run out of capacity quickly and cause costly reconfiguration expense. It's also necessary to decide whether redundant fabrics are needed, how data on the SAN will be backed up, and what classes of storage will be implemented. Each of these points needs answering to ensure that the correct hardware and software budgets can be agreed and signed off. The next stage of the process is to decide whether you want to implement the solution yourself or invite third parties to carry out some or all of the work for you. A small-scale SAN of one or two switches is not immensely complex, but once you increase the number of ports beyond a certain level, it's wise to get external advice. What also needs to be understood is the amount of time your IT department can devote to the project. If the implementation is complex, it may require large chunks of IT time, and this could be to the detriment of other key projects. Once roles and responsibilities have been decided, then a tender process would normally take place. This involves inviting external vendors to propose a solution to fulfil the requirements provided and give appropriate costs for the implementation. Responses can then be analysed and the most appropriate taken forward. Allocation of work between the customer and the vendor will then be negotiated and the installation will commence. The first phase would usually be a pilot, followed by a full-scale rollout if it was successful. During the implementation of the SAN, new hosts and services will be built and commissioned. For hosts and services that need transferring to the new SAN, a migration schedule would need to be created and the necessary downtime negotiated for the services they provide. Further hosts will be implemented according to the project plan until its completion and sign-off. Once the SAN is signed off to production, it's important to ensure that standard procedures are in place for SAN activities. These procedures can range from outage alerts to storage provision and will ensure that the environment runs as smoothly as envisaged during the design process.
Thanks, Steve. The second question is, what are the main pitfalls to watch out for and how can you make sure the process goes as smoothly as possible? Over to you, Steve.
Okay. Unless your implementation is very small or you're an experienced SAN professional, it's highly recommended to get some sort of advice to help with your SAN rollout. This advice can range from a simple assessment to a full implementation service, but will almost always turn out to be value for money and can prevent many of the potential pitfalls becoming reality. My advice will be to ensure you have answers to the following five questions. Is my SAN sized correctly? Direct-to-class switches are much more expensive than edge switches, but enable a SAN implementation of 1,000 or more ports. They can also be purchased with a limited number of ports initially and can be increased at a later date. Edge switches are cheaper, but are not expandable, and an increased port requirement in the future could lead to contention delays along inter-switch links and badly aligned storage. Secondly, assign service levels to hosts. Not all hosts need the same performance levels, and it's a waste of money to attach low-priority hosts to enterprise-class storage. All hosts connecting to the SAN should be allocated to a class of service and should be attached to the infrastructure that provides that service level. For example, it's pointless wasting an extra HBA and SAN port dual-pathing a host when nobody will notice if it's down for a week. Thirdly, Do the storage arrays have the required performance levels? All arrays have maximum capacity and performance levels, and it's important to aggregate hosts across these arrays so that one limit isn't reached far before the other. If an array has reached performance limit, yet still has many terabytes of free storage, this is obviously a waste of money. Fourth, ensure a backup plan is in place. When there's no SAN present, all backup traffic will traverse the LAN. As the amount of backup traffic increases, this can lead to contention between backup traffic and network data. Implementing technologies that allow backup traffic to traverse the storage network instead of the LAN can remove this potential bottleneck and increase performance of the LAN. Lastly, create standards and stick to them. Once a SAN grows beyond a certain point, its administration can become difficult. It's therefore imperative to agree naming conventions during the design stage and also to ensure that they are adhered to. The zone names on the fabric, host aliases on the switches, and host groups on arrays are all examples that should remain consistent. If standards are not implemented, then administration becomes extremely difficult, and it's only a matter of time before an outage is caused.
Thank you, Steve. That's the end of the podcast.